There's not much going on. Like, old Bush died.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, where did y'all eat? That's what I wrote. And then Stanley died, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
Stanley died.
From The Office?
Stan no, Lee from Marvel.
Oh, Stan
yes,
Lee.
The old Marvel.
Who went to Loyola.
Yeah, Stan Lee from The Office went to Loyola.
He went to Loyola.
Ah. Fun fact, yeah.
Yes, fun Ooh. Fact.
Wish we were recorded for that part.
Right.
Let's jump right into today's episode of Girl, What You Watching? So, here... joining me today, let's go around and introduce ourselves and tell me which Real Housewife are you, because I want to know. Real Housewife of Atlanta, let's be specific. And then what you're sipping on. I kind of want to go first.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump right in. Ooh. Okay, so I'm Dion. I am sipping on the fact that I think, like, I don't drink soda that much, but, like, I definitely need to cut back. Because I just had, like, a cup of Coke today, and it was like, I was like, nah, I shouldn't be drinking this. And then, what Real Housewife am I? I don't know. I kind of, like, want to be Portia today. You know, ditzy, but really funny, like, on this current season mm-hmm. and the previous season, pretty funny, too. I don't know. She's growing on me.
Yeah.
I love she's that, so fine.
That gif. Like, who said that? Who said
I
that?
I know. That's my every time someone's like, who said that? I'm like, who said that? Who said that? And it's a joke that not all people in the room get.
Right.
But
who said that?
Yeah.
You girl.
Right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next since I'm sitting next to you. This is Aisha. I am actually from Atlanta, and let's see, what am I sipping on? Well, speaking of the South, being from the South, I am sipping on Nashville because I had to go there for a work trip,
aww.
And I just love, like, speaking in my normal accent and aww. Being around people who are, like, super polite and manners and being called ma'am, not in, like, I'm an old person, but in, like, that's just a sign of respect. And when I was telling some friends about it, they were telling me there are actually two black country music stars who are, like, dominating the country charts right now. So, yeah, I'm sipping on Nashville and I guess black country music.
Hey.
And if I had to pick a housewife that I am, it's like I want to be beautiful and statuesque like Cynthia, but I'm really sort of like petty with a donkey booty like Phaedra. So, I am trying to be fancy, but I am not. And yeah, so I'm Phaedra reluctantly.
Uh-huh. So. Okay. I love it. Hey, I'm Bibi, and I am sipping on mindfulness this week. Mm. That has been... thing that I'm trying to do, you know, self-care, all that stuff, trying to stay in the present because, you know, bringing up things and thinking about, you know, being anxious about the future, I'm trying to, like, be focused. That's, like, what I've been trying to do lately. But I think for Real Housewives, I would be Sheree.
Yes.
The bone collector.
The bone collect, carrying the bones.
Don't call me a, call me a bad server because I'm always spilling the tea.
That is so
ridiculous catchline. Yes. Ooh, can't be the class.
I love Sheree because I feel like she's so messy, but somehow manages to stay friends with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone knows her to be the bone collector, but they allow her to collect those bones.
Whatever reason. Speaking of a Sheree,
we've won two, right?
My name's Sheree, and I'm actually sipping on the future. Instead of going for 2019, I've realized 2016 through 2018 has been horrible, so I'm sipping on the very, very future. I'm talking 2038. He has his own job, not living in his mother's house anymore. He's got goals. He can, like, hold a dialogue. I want that for my future.
Yes.
Yeah. If we can get it together by 2038, I want off the planet. So that's what I am sipping on today.
The deadline.
That is our deadline. After that, I will break up with planet Earth.
There you have it.
You heard it here first.
For my housewife, I was told I was Marlo, but maybe I'm Sheree because I like the tea.
You could also be Sheree.
Ooh, I like that.
But Marlo is definitely the drinker of the group.
I don't.
Marlo's a fun one.
She's very fun.
Marlo's super fun.
Very funny.
I need like a hybrid between the two because I like the alcohol, but I also like the tea.
Right. Who is a hybrid of Marlo and Sheree?
Yeah.
Shamia? No, she's too outside.
I have to go to Potomac like a Giselle.
I like that name. Let's.
Oh, have you not watched Potomac? It's entertaining. Okay, before we get into what we're watching, why don't we talk a little bit about current events? So, like, something that happened recently was Stan Lee passed, which a lot of people felt things about just because he's been such a, like, you know, a creative, like, force at Marvel and, like, so many of the classic superheroes that we know and love were created by Stan Lee. So we can go around and talk a little bit about our favorite, like, Marvel-related property if you want. I also, like, want to mention that, like, I think that there were, like, some, like, sexual, like, harassment allegations with Stan Lee, so, like, bringing that into the forefront, because I know some people have mixed feelings about, like, how they feel about him because of those things. I mean, like any other, like, white man with power, right?
They are. At that time.
Yeah, like, exactly. There's always, like,
who didn't
sexually
harass anybody?
This is, and this is not to excuse that, but I just want to mention that, like, this is not a perfect person, but we can acknowledge that and still, like, acknowledge that we also enjoy some of these Marvel things. Who wants to go?
I really loved the X-Men. Not so much all of the movies, but like the comics that I have yet to read, but I know their stories. And like the cartoon from like the WB when we were kids.
Yes, X-Men Evolution.
Right? Oh my God.
So good. He gave us like that one.
All of them.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking the one before.
Like I was here for both. Because like you had like the Phoenix storyline with this woman coming to power, which I didn't get to see a lot as a child, which is why I was like, I'm gonna be a madam like Dolly Parton because she has agency, and so I needed Stan Lee to show me there were other ways.
So funny. Wow.
I just love that your blueprint is like best little whorehouse in Texas. Thank you.
But like seriously, if that's all I saw when I was growing up, I was like, she gets to have her own business. So Madams is where it's at. And no one really explained to me what that would entail.
That's so funny. It's kind of precious.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. I mean, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, wow, I'm waking up in a world in which Black Panther is like a multi-million dollar film and like young like Black girls can like grow up and be like, Shuri is like, you know, one of my favorite heroes and like Nakia. Mm-hmm. I just like sometimes that blows my mind. So yeah, obviously there's that. Also, BB's boyfriend recently sent me a clip from one of my favorite Marvel films, Captain America, Winter Soldier, where Steve, Captain America, and Sam, who is Falcon, meet for the first time, and you know they have their whole like on your left flirtation, and it really is, you know, that's my favorite romantic comedy because I think like there's nothing like the relationship between Captain America and Falcon. It is so cute, if like you watch that movie again, but just like, you know, play like a little like romantic comedy like soundtrack or something, and like in your mind, and be like, oh, okay, this is a love story. Like they meet in the beginning, and at the end they're by each other's bedsides and playing their song, and it's just our Prasha.
They reference the moment that they met. He says, and it's reverse. It's so beautiful that on your left, I could get that tattooed on my chest.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
On your left.
How did we watch that?
A great couple's costume would be those two.
Oh, yeah. I think actually, Jake and I are probably going to do that at some point.
Yes.
Aww.
For sure.
Halloween 2038, when it's good again.
Yeah, I know, right? The way she said eventually.
Right.
They have a list.
Well, okay. Well, my one problem is, you know, Anthony Mackie.
I know.
He's so problematic.
Yeah.
You know, he just.
Is he?
Well, you know, it's just one of those. Well, yes. Yes, great cheekbones. But, you know, he's like, oh, here I am around my all, like, white super friends. And I'm just going to pretend like, you know, race ain't a thing, and I'm going to say some, like, stupid shit in interviews and stuff like that. So I've been a little bit terse with Anthony Mackie. That's the only thing that's preventing this costume from coming to life. But
well, he got raptured in Infinity War.
He sure did. He sure did.
Yeah.
He got the snaps.
Thanos.
Yeah.
How do you call it? The infinity fade, right? As they call it on Fan Bro Show. We caught that infinity fade.
It was like left behind and I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
So many people were snatched.
It was rough.
Super snatched. But I assumed like anyone who didn't get snatched was, that you didn't see get snatched was also alive. Because there are some people where you're like, I didn't see them appear, but right. I also didn't see
Where's
them
Valkyrie?
Disappear.
Where's Tessa
Thompson? Like, yeah, exactly.
My other thought, though, is everybody who was raptured is obviously coming back. So, like, the stakes are pretty low.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just like, you're not going to end a franchise. I know you, Marvel.
No. They took out some, like, actually, like, killed some of their heavy hitters.
The new Spider-Man got raptured.
The Black Panther got raptured.
Well,
they're
I'm
not
talking about,
that
like,
because
the raptured people, I feel like, are going to come back. But it's the people who actually, like,
dead.
Died. Like,
yeah. Oh,
I guess
so, like,
maybe, hopefully, y'all have all seen Infinity War. If not, I hope you've skipped forward by now. But like Gamora and Loki and Heimdall. They took some people out.
I feel like Gamora isn't completely done yet either. I don't know how they're going to like wrap that up, but
I would be sad. Guardians is going through it too over there.
Oh, God.
Their director tweeted out some really gross stuff and then got fired?
Yeah. It was.
They found receipts from
years ago. From long time ago. Yeah. Yeah, they like.
But it was
some
really disturbing stuff, though.
Yeah.
So back and forth because it's like, you should have done this research before you hired this person. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, he already worked on like how many, and then wasn't it like, I don't know. The whole thing seemed like extra messy.
Yeah, I know, and especially, I'm like, I'm sure there's people Disney should be firing that they haven't.
Oh yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Disney should be canceled. Let's be honest.
But they own everything, so good luck to us.
They own the studio. They're probably gonna walk it.
Right.
They don't own the studio.
All I have to say is Disney so problematic. I looked to Madams for role models as a child. So
bringing it back.
Let's
to
clean
Madams.
Some house.
Yes. So funny.
Did you have a Marvel movie or a Marvel memory?
You know, mine really was, you know, the Black Panther and, Sam Steve, Civil War. So I don't have much to add, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite franchises. I'm so glad that they're around. And I would say, you know, Spider-Man DC?
No. That's Marvel.
I've just seen so many Ren. I have yet to see the Miles Morales Spider-Man.
I'm looking forward
and
to
that. I'm pretty sure that's going to be my new, like, really favorite property to come out. So I'm really excited to go see it. It looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, that movie. Is that what we're talking about? Into the Spider-Verse, that animated movie.
Yeah, I hate that it's like, I want a live action one, but I guess they're trying to test it with the animated.
They said that with Donald Glover's character in Spider-Man Homecoming, that character is actually the uncle of Miles Morales. So by introducing him, they may
be a little
bringing,
bit of Miles.
Yeah.
Maybe, because in the comics, they're not even in the same universe.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they waited too long to actually let Donald Glover play Miles Morales.
He campaigned for it forever, though. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. A lot of people wanted him,
and then he was like, sure, I would do it. And at least he's been able to voice, you know, in some of these animated properties.
Because I think he said that he was the same age as either Andrew Garfield or whoever played Spider-Man. He was actually the same age as that person.
The oldest white people play Spider-Man. It's like the Marvel equivalent of Hamlet, to be honest.
Yeah, this is the first time they've actually had someone who's a little more age appropriate. Right. Like, looks like they're in high school. Yeah. Tobey Maguire was...
His back is like ruined forever because he was 90 swinging from ropes. And
listen,
I was like, sir.
Really?
Sir.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's like, my back is messed up, which is why he doesn't act as much. He has issues with it.
And I believe it.
Yeah.
That's like things weren't safe. As you get older, your body will change, and you could be like super fit and super healthy, but your body's just gonna change because that's just time.
Right.
So I
did something in my hip in my sleep one time. I had to call out of work the next day, so I can only imagine being suspended through the air.
Right.
Just
with faulty wires of the early 2000s.
Right.
Of the early 2000s.
Yeah, that was not safe. That was not safe.
Going back to watch that first movie I think I watched it like a year ago. It's a doozy, man. It's really corny.
I still love those movies. It's fun, though. Just like I still love the original X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what this X-Men cartoon is you guys are talking about.
You didn't watch
it. It wasn't the same. They were both good.
They were both good. The X-Men Evolution was like, they were in like high, a lot of them were in high school.
Oh, I don't need to see
it. It was around the time.
It was actually good. You would probably.
It was around the time they did Batman Beyond, because they were like, let's get the young people into these superheroes. Yeah. The WB was all about the young people.
Yes, yes.
A channel killed too soon.
Static, Static Shock was on there too.
Yeah.
Talking about heroes.
Yeah. Static
that was a good.
Shock.
That was a good show. Lil Romeo, I think, did the theme song. Or was it Bow Wow? You know those two.
One of the
feuding.
Two.
Lil Somebody.
Yeah.
Lil Somebody.
Lil Boys Feuding. Was that your property you were going to say?
No, actually, I was going to say, like, Sheree and I were talking before we started recording, but I recently rewatched Thor Ragnarok. And I feel like I can watch that movie, like, just several times. Like, yeah, it never gets old. Yes. And I love the whole, like, rebranding of Thor as, like, this trust fund kid who is just kind of, like, fucking around the universe, but like finding himself, like coming to terms, realizing who he is and everything. And, you know, just Jeff Goldblum is a gift.
Always.
Yeah.
Like,
always.
He's so good in that movie. But I mean, I love just how it looks. I love that it like references, what's that movie? Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is probably like too old for some of you, but if you go back and watch Flash Gordon, and then watch Thor Ragnarok, you will see it because it's like that 70s style music and all the colors and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, it's just Thor Ragnarok, and really like a lot of those Marvel movies are a lot better than they should be. Like the Captain America movies are like, these are fantastic political thrillers.
Yeah, right. They're fun.
So, I would pick Thor.
Right. And I hope before this bubble bursts, we really do. I mean, we're slowly getting like more movies led by people of color and stuff, but I feel like Marvel really took way too long to get into that.
Oh, but sure. Like
at least we're there now.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed for more good stuff in the future. Do we want to talk a little bit about what we're watching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've been watching. Woo woo.
I've been taking my roommate through Grey's Anatomy, or as some of us might want to refer to it as Shonda 1.0. It was the first time we encountered Shonda on ABC, and the first 5 seasons are gold. You cry a lot, you feel for these people. The next 3 seasons are good, and you're like, we can still make this marriage work. And then after that, you're like, should we separate? Should we try different bedrooms? I don't know. And you never fully rekindle the magic. But we're still in the first 5 years, so it's going to work out again.
So have you watched it through all the way once already, or you just are familiar with the trajectory?
I always go back to the beginning to remember why I'm still with it, like much like a marriage. Oh, wow. It's like, remember the good times?
Right.
So I start over people at least a couple of times with over the course of a couple of years. Like, the last time I started over, it was with my last roommate in Texas in 2016. So I was like, it's time to do it again. It's feel-good, cry TV.
Right.
And then, like, you come back to what they're doing today, and you're like, we might need to wrap this up.
Right. I'm so intimidated by it.
Because
it's so many seasons. I'm like, I don't even know if I could hop onto that Shonda train.
Don't do it. Just do the first 5, see how you fail, and then do the next 3, and then look for an out. Don't make my mistake.
Find your exit point.
Right.
So what is it about the first 5 seasons that's so much better or effective than subsequent seasons?
They had like a really good group of people, not only in the writer's room, but casting wise. People weren't afraid to ugly cry.
Mm.
They weren't afraid to get into a messy situation with a script. And then after that, it became, everybody's being cutesy on TV, I can't cry.
Oh.
It's like, no, I need you to use your face.
Mm,
and they kept introducing new people who were younger. And I was like, but they're bad actors, so should we? We have someone on the show right now. The character's name is Joe, and I forget that her name is Joe. So people talk about her, and I'm like, who is that again? She's been there 6 years.
Oh.
She's married to one of the main characters from the first episode. And I'm just like, who are we? Oh, yeah, I forgot about her again.
Yikes.
She makes me feel like I could be an actress. I've taken 1 acting class, and I was not good at it. I'm afraid of lights, people, and I can't memorize. But I think that after seeing her, I could do it.
Yes. Well, you know, she has empowered you.
And I, she's just a bad actress. She seems like a lovely person. But as an actress, I want her to go away.
That's so funny. And Sheree, I just want to take a moment to compliment you on this TARDIS cardigan.
Yes.
Thank
you,
y'all. Thank you. It is so cute. It has little snowflakes on it.
Right. It's so wintry.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
wow.
It's my armor until 2038. I'm just going to like wrap myself in it.
I think we know the title of this episode.
Right.
2038.
What do you do till 2038?
Counting down the years.
And apparently watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
All the way through several times.
But honestly, 20 years, that's a good long time to wait, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens if we make it.
And the same lady is still on there, like the same like main lady.
Meredith, Ellen Pompeo, she has never once been like, I'm going to pull a punch in this interview, which is why I like watching her as a person be interviewed. Like most recently, she called out representation during a panel with like Gabrielle Union and the woman from like Jane the Virgin. She was just like, this is cool that we're nodding to all of us women, but I don't see enough color in this room.
Yeah.
Snaps. Mm. and then like, yeah, that's who she is because like, I mean, spoilers, but also Grey's Anatomy has been on for 14 years.
Uh-huh.
Her character's husband finally dies in one of these decades.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, like, the producers are like, she's a new man. We need to keep it hot and steamy. And she's like, I play a world-class surgeon who's holding it down as a single mom. Why do I need a penis in there?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm asking for more money this year also. And she got it. Like,
yes.
Ellen needs to, like, teach a private class on how to succeed and as a woman. She just does. She's like, ask for what you're worth. And I was like, yes, Auntie Ellen, but also.
Yes. Ooh, I want to take that class.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Ellen this does is that class.
Yes.
Yes, let's teach each other.
I don't know.
Love
just
it.
Talking. Just talking. So. Well, cool. Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
What about you, Aisha? What you been watching?
So I have been watching this Norwegian show called Occupied, and I'm really like into Scandinavia right now, you guys. Between
what?
Yeah, it's like The Last Kingdom, which I've referenced before on this show, has a lot of Danish people, like medieval Danish people in there, like basically Klingons. But like awesome, you know, because they're just all about like living it up or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I guess this is like the future of these people. And I'm sure we'll, you know, people will write in and tell me the differences between like Norwegians, people from Sweden and Finland. I know that there are differences, guys. Like, I'm not discounting that. But anyway, Occupied is, it's set in Norway and it's set in like the near kind of future where the Norwegians have decided that they are not gonna use oil anymore. So they've come up with this other alternative fuel, and they're going to do it, and they're super jazzed about it. But then the European Union is like, no, we're going to need you to keep pumping oil. And they're like, no, but we don't want to. We have this fantastic, like, new, sustainable, doesn't damage the planet. It's going to be great, you guys. And they're like, okay, that's great. The Russians are going to come and make sure you, like, produce oil. And so basically, Norway is invaded by Russia. And the series is kind of about the Norwegian people living with this Russian occupation and how some people are sort of like okay with the Russians and they find ways to live with them. And then other people are like, no, we need to get these Russians out of here. And then how that affects the politics. And, you know, the party that had promised to not pump any oil anymore, now they look like hypocrites. So it's kind of like a Scandinavian 24. Kind of, but about the environment. I'll just say that I just really like the whole Scandinoir thing, Scandinoir, which is, this is my first.
Yes, you better come up with a new genre.
No, this is like an actual thing. Like,
Scandinoir.
Scandinoir. I'm probably saying it incorrectly. But just like, you know, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like all these shows that are like, because Norway has this reputation, or like just the Scandinavian countries have this reputation as this very sort of egalitarian society, and everybody's like very cool, and they're wearing sweaters, and there's no conflict, but then underneath, there's all this stuff going on, and so that's why you get this sort of dramatic kind of like dichotomy that's very interesting. And when I was reading about this, apparently Broadchurch is also like Scandinoir, where it's just like you have the surface and then you have everything that's happening underneath.
But that masterclass of a show.
Yeah. So it's, I would, if you like very sort of kind of like slow burn political thriller kind of things like John le Carré kind of stuff, then yeah, you might want to check this out. Also, if you care about the environment, because it's kind of an interesting sort of backdrop for this type of stuff, that there would be, it would be action and like shooting and pew pew and stuff based on like, hey, the planet is dying, guys, like we should do something about it. So that is what I'm watching.
What's it called again? Where can you watch it?
You can watch it on Netflix. It's streaming. And it is subtitled, but apparently over there everybody speaks English. So it's about 30-40% in English.
Oh.
Yeah. That's something that we could learn from. We should probably all be speaking multiple languages, and the fact that like everybody on the show will switch between like Norwegian and Russian and English, and it's just like, this is what you do. This is how we're all living.
Yes.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
That's so funny. I think that, like, I've talked, I think maybe we've talked about Terrace House on the show. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It's a Japanese reality show where you, like, these strangers, like six strangers live in a house together. And in one of the seasons, Aloha State, they're in Hawaii. And so people are speaking Japanese and English. And so my friend started that season. I was watching it with her, my friend Valerie. Hi, Valerie, if you're listening. And she was so thrown by them, like, being able to, like, switch between English and Japanese. She was actually a little offended. She was like, I wanted to watch an all Japanese show. She's like, they're throwing English in here, and it's ruining it for me. I'm like, whatever. People speak multiple languages.
Yeah.
You better adjust.
I feel like we're, I don't want to say, like, we're the only ones who don't speak multiple languages, but it's just interesting to see, like, in other places that, you know, like, you could be speaking, like, they'll be speaking Norwegian to each other, but then watching the BBC in English, and they're just, like, doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of people who know multiple languages even here, but I would, I'm so curious about the rates, at which, like, Americans are bilingual versus other people. And, like, there are a lot of immigrants and stuff here, so you never know. Yeah. I don't know.
Now it also has to deal with, like, English speaking and, like, also the priorities of education, because I feel like in places that aren't necessarily speaking English because it's become like this language of trade because colonization.
Right.
You know, so it's just really interesting how, like, you know, because we're already like speaking the language of the colonizer, how we're not necessarily like encouraged to learn a second language, where in these other places where it's like, well, here we are.
Right,
we
gotta, these gotta people learn
here. Have to,
where it's like, so I'm gonna know like multiple languages because, you know, people who are speaking English are doing some like real fucked up shit over here.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yep.
That's how it is. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Scandinoir?
No, but I'm definitely kind of ready to go down that rabbit hole because I, you know, I wasn't really interested in that whole genre because it did seem to be very sort of like, oh, it's just gonna be like a mood the entire time, and I did not want to deal with that. But now I'm like, what? How much does it cost to go from here to like Oslo? Like, I think I want to see these people up close because I feel like I'm a cool on top, you know, raging emotions and whatever underneath. So I'm like, these people might speak to me. So yeah,
yes. So I have been watching this new DC show, Titans. And okay, so if y'all, any of you ever watched Teen Titans, there was that cartoon on Cartoon Network some years back, and then now there's like a little like mini version of it called Titans Go, where they're like chibi, like little peoples, and that's cute. So now we got this like gritty kind of like show, and they're just like Titans. Okay. So, it's on DC's streaming platform, which I will say it's impressive that for once DC has beat Marvel to the punch and coming up with the streaming platform, and Marvel is scrambling right now, pulling shows off Netflix left and right, which is kind of sad, honestly.
Well, it's because Disney, I think, wants to have their own one, and it'll
include
the Marvel properties.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. So they're canceling stuff left and right, I think, because they want to have like this streaming service. And so instead of like having Netflix have their money, they're like, we'll put all of like the shows on these other streaming platforms onto one. But the thing that does suck about that is, like, even if the characters live on in different ways, so, like, they just canceled Daredevil, mm-hmm. and they had canceled
they
Luke
canceled
Cage.
They canceled Daredevil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had canceled Luke Cage, which I was sad about.
I was already upset about Luke Cage, yeah.
Yeah, and Iron Fist could go, honestly, because
it shouldn't have been a thing to begin
with. Yeah, no.
That's
not
dope.
With that white guy. The second they had the white guy.
Listen.
I never watched an episode because of his interview about being Iron Fist, and I was like, if I'm this turned off already, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. Right, you're like, I hate this. Yeah. So, yeah, so Marvel's scrambling and canceling a bunch of great shows. DC's, you know, for once, like, feeling themselves, I'm sure. So you can have
they got Jason Momoa in their backyard. They happy.
Right. Right. Okay, they do. Mm. I do love me some Jason Momoa.
We all
I'm
do.
I'm see that Aquaman movie too, yes. So while so DC's got the streaming platform and you can pay for it. You can also there's a free trial, so if you're like, you know, cheap and you just want to watch all the episodes at once. there may be other ways on the internet to find the show, but we won't talk about those and which methods that I use to watch it because you're not here for that today. so let me tell y'all a little something about the show. So you've got like you don't have Cyborg because Cyborg is in the DC like cinematic universe, so right now at least he's not in the shows, but you have Robin, you have Starfire, Beast Boy, and Raven. And also as opposed to the animated stuff, they're different ages, so that's why it's just called Titans. They're not all teenagers. So,
wait, so this twist. Is live action?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, it's twist. A live action Titan show. And so some of the dope stuff is like, so, yeah, Raven and Beast Boy are a little younger. Sort of starts off with the premise of, like, Raven is, like, this really honestly creepy child and, like, has scary dreams. Like, she seems like she needs to be, there needs to be an exorcism performed on her.
That stands true to
yeah, me. Yeah, so they make her a little, like, creepy horror movie girl. Mm-hmm. And life is hard for her because she's scary and she can't control her powers. And then all of a sudden, like, basically, you find out these people are after her, and so she's got to kind of, like, be on the run. Meanwhile, Robin, or Dick, as Dick Grayson, he's, like, a detective or whatever, and he has left Gotham because he doesn't want to, like, be around Batman anymore. You might see in the trailers, he, like, after fighting some people, he turns the camera, he's like, fuck Batman. And it's like, what? Bad words. Yeah, it's because DC is like, we're on our own. We're out here. Like, we are on our own streaming platform. Like, we can say the F word if we want. But the guy that got to play him first, I was like, I don't know about this. But that actor actually does a pretty good job because he's like kind of has a more Boy Scout like type look. And then he's just like, you can tell he's genuinely like uncomfortable with like his actions is what my friend Adam says. Like, he seems like genuinely uncomfortable with the fact that he's kind of like turning into a mini Batman and is like being really dark and stuff. He's like, I don't think this is who I am. So that's why he leaves Gotham and he's taking like this time for himself. He meets Raven and tries to protect her. And you've got Starfire, who first of all is played by a black woman, which is so cool. I think her name is Anna Jope. I believe that is right. I know her last name is Jope for sure.
To the internet.
Yes, you should look that up while I'm talking. Yes. And so that is so cool. And I'm there was all this backlash because everyone was like, oh my God. But in the comics and in the show, she's orange. So like, it's like, whatever.
Way to not commit.
Yeah. I mean, and she turns orange when her powers turn on. But it's like, I'm like, okay, everyone who's pissed she's not played by a white girl needs to go home. She's such a fun character. Instead of making her sort of like a little bit more like, you know, Starfire has always been sort of innocent and like maybe a little bit ditzy because she just doesn't know what's going on. She's like, I'm on a whole new planet. I'm having fun. I'm having a great time. So she's still kind of has that energy, but she's also a badass and a joke. Yes, I was right. She's also a badass, and it's so fun. And she has some of the innocence because basically in the first episode, you find out she wakes up and she doesn't know who she is at all. So she's just like putting clues and pieces together to figure out like who she is. And she's really cool. Beast Boy is adorable, also played by a person of color. And that character is just brings some like levity to like the crew, and right now it feels like I play D&D sometimes, so I'm gonna make this little reference. When you're playing D&D, you've got a group of characters that you create, right? And you're like, okay, we have these people, why are we on this mission together? And so it kind of feels like at least in this part of the first few episodes of Titans, it's like, why are these people together? And the show is still figuring that out. Like, what is going to make them a team of, like, besides just like, oh, we're trying to protect Raven, what is going to bring them together as like a superhero team? So I don't know. It's a really entertaining show. Definitely kind of a slow burn right now, but I recommend it to y'all. If you like superhero stuff, go for it.
That's so interesting. I saw the trailer and I was like,
Yeah, it's way better than the trailer would tell you for sure.
But now that you two recommend it, I'll give it
check it out.
I'll dip my toe in.
Dip your little toesy toe. And what have you been watching, my friend BB?
So, you know, I've been speaking of toe dipping, because the Real Housewives of Atlanta really do love to ask who has dipped their toe in the lady pool as
they do.
As they go for it. And I've been dipping my toe into season 10, as you know.
So you're one season behind.
I'm one season behind because season 10 is available on Hulu. And so as someone who cannot watch season 11, which has started and is live happening, I've just been catching up on season 10, a year behind. It is very entertaining. You know, NeNe's back. For some reason, Kim Solziak makes an appearance. Yeah. I don't understand why she comes in.
With her wig.
Oh, my God. It was so shady. The episode I just saw, NeNe was like, Kim is the only person I know who's had cancer, thyroid issues, open heart surgery, a stroke, and has a negative attitude. Like, you'd think you'd been all through that, and you would just be happy to be through life. So it was like shade on top of shade. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because we all, so the tea on that is like some of those things like may have been true, but the anchoring point was the cancer, which was something false. That was false and recorded to be false, where like on the first, like it was like season one or season two. Season one reunion. Wow. Started all the way where Kim says like, oh, you know, the reason why I wear wigs is because I went to my friend who's a doctor and he said that he was 90% sure that I had cancer. And she starts crying. And then like Andy is like, oh, so have you beat the cancer now? And she's like, oh, well, it turns out I did not have cancer. So it was like, what?
So it's such a funny moment because like she lets it kind of go on for a
while.
And Andy's like, did you know about this, NeNe? She's like, well, I didn't know about any. I never heard anything about any cancer. Maybe if I had known about the cancer, things would have been different. I love NeNe so much. Honestly,
it's so funny.
And I'll just say, for some reason, there's something very weird about that Housewives franchise where people seem to have fake cancer a lot. This is just across, like,
really?
Yeah, because it happened in Orange County.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Brooks. And he was with Vicky. But anyway, this is—it's just really weird that everybody, like, I feel like there have been multiple franchises where there has been somebody who has been like, I have cancer. Oh wait, no, I don't.
Right, or lying about diseases. Like, in general.
Yeah, I don't know what awkward. It is.
Maybe that's the go-to storyline when you don't have nothing else going on.
Right. Yeah,
right.
I'm dying. Oh no.
But other than that, I had ended up watching a show on Netflix that Aisha, I think you had thought might be a good holdover for Game of Thrones, and that is
Last Kingdom was the holdover for Game of Thrones.
Oh, Last Kingdom. Yes. My apologies.
Which has new seasons that came out last week, or a couple weeks ago. So. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll still try that out because what I saw instead, Outlaw King, available on Netflix, was horrible. Oh my God. I got an hour through this movie and paused it and saw that there were 53 whole minutes remaining. And I said, what? I thought it had been 2 hours already. Like, I went in watching it knowing that it was 2 hours. I got an hour in and was surprised that there was still an hour left. It's paced horribly. And it's kind of a shame. So, okay, so Outlaw King stars Chris Pine, which, who is enjoyable, you know, of the many Chrises of the world. Mm-hmm. Although I will say he was one of my favorite Chrises. He's also in this great rom-com. I think it's called, like, a Blind Date.
Hmm.
So cute. But the problem that I have with Chris Pine in this particular motion picture is his mullet.
Oh, Chris.
And yes, I understand that it's a period piece, but girl, your main character is in, as my partner called it, the worst haircut ever to be invented by man. Like, it's just, it's distractingly horrible. Yeah. And it's such a shame because, like, the first scene for Outlaw King is really fantastic because it's a single shot. And it almost looks kind of like it's a play that's, like, being recorded and everyone has to be, like, on their mark. Like, it's really interesting opening scene and really beautifully shot. But then it, like, derails from there. Like, the pacing is super off. Like, I think the problem with it is I think they might have originally shot it to be, like, a mini-series. Mm. But instead of actually keeping it as a mini-series, they chopped it up and shoved it into a two-hour movie. And so, like, things are paced really slow. And then, like, 10 things happen plot-wise within a span of, like, 20 minutes. And then, like, it messes with the tone because they'll have, like, a couple of, like, this is clearly, like, a funny moment or, like, a funny character who has been introduced. But, like, I'm so lost tone-wise and pace-wise that I don't care. And I lose the laugh.
Oh.
Sis, I lost the laugh.
Mm. It sounds like the mullet of films.
It is. Well, I mean, it was all business in the front. Ain't no party in the back.
Oh, no. Deception.
A reverse mullet.
It was just, and the thing that also really bothered me now, they have this, so it, the whole story is about Chris Pine. It plays Robert Bruce, who is trying to be, like, the king of Scotland. And he goes crazy. He, like, murders his cousin, like, out in cold blood. And they're both, but then at the same time tries to get all these lords together to, like, defeat the English so that they can, like, get Scotland back, right? But he does it in this whole, like, ass backwards way. And it kind of looks like, it's like, okay, your father died and now you're acting like batshit crazy. And honestly, it made me feel better about my job because I was like, you know what? If I had a bad day at job,
job. Something we can all relate to. I had a bad day at job.
If I have a bad day, it just made me think, if I had a bad day at work, you know, it wouldn't leave, like, 10,000 of my men dead. Just because I'm like, if at work I'm an egotistical jerk, nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was an egotistical jerk and killed many, many people doing so.
You can't be a murderous jerk with a mullet. You have to pick or choose at some point.
Listen, and the part that really, really agitated me, because we were talking about, you know, I mean, it's all white, right? Which is, you know, whatever. I knew what I was
quite
getting
white.
To. It was quite white. And they have this character. So, like, Chris Pine's, like, he has a daughter and his, like, original wife, like, died. And so they marry him off to, like, some random girl so they can eventually, like, become king, blah, blah, blah. And the woman he marries is, like, her name's Elizabeth Berg. And she's played by Florence Pugh. P-U-G-H. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But even IMDb, like, shaded her because she's supposed to be, like, his romantic interest throughout the movie, right? Why is her name, like, all the way down the cast list for me to find out who played this woman, right? And it was so irritating because she comes in and it's this, like, arranged marriage and they, like, kind of leave each other alone because they know that they're both forced to do it, whatever. And she, like, gets along with his daughter, all this stuff. And then when Chris Pine starts going crazy and is like, I'm going to start this war because I feel like it, I guess, and I murdered my cousin, so now I'm going to get all the lords together to go to war. She, like, comes in, and she, like, bursts into his room, and she's like, you know, I understand that, like, this is a woman's place, and, like, you don't think that I'm educated, but actually I am, because I've had a lot of time to read, and I form my own opinions about power. Listen, it was done before it began. It was done before it began. And she's like, I've had all these opinions on power, and I was like, yeah, you go, Elizabeth. Go and tell him he's being an idiot, because the whole movie is Chris Pine being like, I'm crazy, and you watch him talk to a person who's like, you're being stupid. This is not how it is. And you're like, yeah, person who's telling Chris Pine that this is totally crazy, you're right. And then Chris Pine's like, you know what? I'm going to murder you. Like, the whole movie. And, like,
that is privilege at its finest.
Right. And I think if it was a miniseries, you might have had some more, like, sympathy for Chris Pine's character. But instead, you just see him being, like, an asshole and then just murdering people. And it's like, so many people could not die if you weren't the way that you are. And so you think that his wife is going to come in and be like, I'm going to tell you who you are. You don't think, you think that I'm just like some privileged like white girl, and that I may be, but I have some opinions. I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. You think that, but no, no. What she says is, I'm so mad I found the quote. She says, power is making decisions, and whatever course you are charting, I choose you. My what? Husband.
Wow.
What? She makes this whole speech where you think she's going to, like, come for him. And then she says, no, actually, I love you. What?
No.
And that was the first time they, like, had ever expressed, like, feelings for each other or whatever. Gosh. It
was
just.
She'd be one of those wives on court TV who's like, I didn't know what he was doing with the shovel at 2 a.m.
Listen. And what, and also what was interesting about the what kind of made me think about the Game of Thrones is they have some Game of Thrones actors who are in it. So mm-hmm. like Stephen Delane and James Cosmo makes an appearance. So you like
who do they play on Game of Thrones? Do you know?
Don't sorry. Call me
it's
out
okay.
like
it's
this.
A large
no,
it's
I don't
okay.
know.
It's
I know.
A large it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
And most
but
of them die. So you don't
some
get
of them are on there.
Let's see. Well,
and then
Delane.
And that was like some of the problem with like Outlaw King is like you get. Half introduced to these characters and then they die, but then you don't care because it's paced so awfully that you didn't even get to know them before they died.
No.
It was horrendous.
I'm sorry that movie happened to you.
Yeah, so yeah. I know we normally talk about stuff that we like. And I thought, let's talk about the fact that sometimes let's take an L for the team. And I feel like this is a huge loss. And
of your time?
Right. I highly don't recommend.
Ha.
Although you do see Chris Pine naked. Oh. I think Refinery. Listen.
What's the timestamp?
Yes,
on that?
Exactly. I think it's called Refinery 29 does the timestamp of okay. when you get to see like frontal. Ladies, yes, oh. yes, you do get
well,
to see Chris Pine
gentlemen
fully anchor.
And
yes.
everyone else
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch
it? Right, yeah, I just meant in yeah. the yeah. those of us who are
I
in
mean,
the room.
I was just pointing out that we all here for it.
Yes, so he is in a river and fully frontal naked. So yes, whomever you are, if you are interested in seeing it, I'm pretty sure the website Refinery29 has marked the timestamp in which that happens. So don't watch the rest of the film, but do see that quick second because you know it's always just a quick second. Mm-hmm. But if you see, you know, Elizabeth's boobs for like, which, you know, they're nice looking. So, I mean, you if you're there for that as well, you know, call it out. But like, you always see like boobs for way longer
mm-hmm.
than you will ever see a penis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on Outlaw King. I wouldn't watch it. I would just, you know, find that whichever yeah. nudity interests you. Pursue. Watch the first 5 minutes because the opening scene is really cool because it's a single shot and it's really beautiful.
Mm.
But otherwise, if they would go back to the cutting room and make it into a mini series, I will be here for you. But as a movie, trash.
Not good. Mm. It sounds like his motivations weren't really laid out like well no. enough, and like a mini series might do that a lot better so that you could like, okay, I understand why he's killing
yeah.
all these people in order to like create Scotland or whatever. Because I feel like The Last Kingdom does that very well, where it's just like the motivation is to create England, and so all these things happen in service of that. So, but yeah, I enjoy Chris Pine. So I might just watch it, not just for like Pine penis, but
Pine penis,
like,
the PP,
the Pine peen.
I've just really come to enjoy Chris Pine as an actor.
I know, just. I love, he's a great actor. I think he's so good looking, mm-hmm. except I saw a picture of him next to Idris Elba once.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's not fair.
And he paled and mm-hmm. shriveled in comparison.
No.
And so now even when I see him alone, I just think about that photo of him next to Idris
yeah.
Elba, and it
yeah.
takes away the magic a little bit.
I feel like back in the early 2000s when he was the first Chris.
Yes.
And we didn't know any better. We were like, this is where we're going to like peak. And then the Marvel found out these other Chrises
yes.
and we forgot about him till
Oof.
Wonder Woman. And he's like, I still act. And we're like, that's cute, Chris. That's
right,
cute.
That's true.
I feel like he is literally the most solid Chris. Like, I mean, I like Chris Evans. Like, bearded Chris Evans is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's why I tried Captain America.
But
yeah.
do you mean solid, like,
I feel like this
finest?
Is,
I guess
is
that's
gonna,
the only thing I think about.
Well, no, I feel like this is he's going to be the Chris that kind of stands the test of time.
I can see that.
Like, I mean, because he's a good actor. He's got some franchises because he's also like James Kirk in the Star Trek reboot. Mm-hmm. We don't have to talk about the quality of the reboot, mm-hmm. but he's getting his checks. Although I think that that franchise might be in danger because of some other stuff going on. And he's like a song and dance man.
What?
Yes. Like, I think he like,
yes, he did Into the Woods.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's so true. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like this is our multifaceted Chris.
I mean, that's real. That's, I mean, you're not wrong. But, you know, just because he's the most well-rounded one doesn't mean he's each of our favorites. I think we should go around and say who our favorite white Chris is real quick. Okay, I won't go first. Actually, someone else.
I don't know. It's hard.
I'm going to stand behind Chris Pine. Like, again, I appreciate bearded Chris Evans, not regular or like clean shaven Chris Evans, but bearded Chris Evans. And, you know, Chris Hemsworth as Thor is like, particularly, like I said, in Ragnarok, is just delightful.
Right. Also true.
But, you know, I'm going to stand by Chris Pine. Okay, so part of this is based on the fact that. Well, you know what? I'm not going to mention it. I'll tell you guys that offline. It's not an It's just like, it's based on information that I saw accidentally that I would normally not seek out. And so I don't want to perpetuate anybody finding that because it was like celebrity hack information. And I'm, you know, y'all know me. I'm like super paranoid and stuff. So, but I would say there's some other reasons why I feel like Chris Pine is going to be
people
like
we're going to be so curious.
The Chris you might have follow to 2038. Yeah.
Oh. Like I don't know. When I look at 2038, I forget about Chris again. I'm sure he'll be back in something else. I'm like, "Oh yeah, you do the things."
Yep.
I don't know. Like right now maybe. No. I mean, I'll come back to me.
Okay. Okay. I'll go. I'm a Chris Evans girl. And I mean, I love Captain America. I love bearded or not bearded. I just think he's like my white guy of choice, honestly, just generally. Yeah. I mean, he just seems in some of his interviews and stuff, he's like, you know, he's real about the actor thing. He's like, you know, I get so nervous like when I'm out here trying. He just seems cute and sweet and like On a cold winter's night, couldn't you imagine instead of a blanket, like Chris Evans wrapping you in his large arms and like nuzzling his beer against your neck or whatever? I'm so thirsty. It's fine. They have him on. Oh, because you know, we have a podcast and we're talking about other great podcasts. It's all good. There's a great podcast called Thirst Aid Kit, and they talk about like different people that they're thirsting over. And sometimes they do interviews, and they do an interview with Chris Evans, and it is epic. And you know, he just kind of has to know, like, you know, his position as like hot, you know, person who's being thirsted over. And then he's just like grateful and like modest about things. I'm about it. Evans for me.
And he's actually very like politically active and liberal and will like at least like virtually although I feel like he probably would in real life if given the opportunity punch a Nazi so I'll give him credit for that.
I feel like him and Mark Ruffalo like go off set and like do adventures in like say like small towns
probably
and they come back and they're like okay Iron Man again look
right
whatever small towns
Mark Ruffalo's not a Chris though so nobody follows him.
I think we care about the non-Christmas as well.
We do.
It's so hard to keep track of white men in general.
Yeah. The Christmas, we can lump them all together.
Yeah.
Like,
what about you, BB?
I like me a good Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm. Hemsworth? Okay.
But I also do like me a good Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. I will bring up for, you know, just because we have it, Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
true. Yes, he's in the number as well.
It's hard. All three of them are in the mix.
I forgot about Chris.
They're like the A-team Chris's, and then Chris Pine is like, I started the A-team. Let me back in.
Right.
And we're like, I don't know, Chris. Look, show me some ID. Try again next year.
He is sweet.
Is your name really Chris?
Yeah. You can reapply next year.
I feel like we're all kind of picking this based on like age and where we are.
I don't know.
It's about fineness.
Right? Yeah,
mine's mainly about that.
I mean... I want to definitely be a Chris Hemsworth girl, especially after the last Thor, where like the message of the film I felt was get a makeover and a theme song and your life will change.
I think that's actually a good message.
It was. They put on immigrants. He rode in on his like thing with his new haircut, and I was like, I'm here for all of this. But I don't know, because I feel like Chris Evans, we could actually have a conversation.
Right.
Whereas Chris Hemsworth is mostly there for the looks. Mm-hmm. We could have fun, but I can't talk to him about books. Like, he doesn't do that.
That's true.
He's and like, is it a movie yet? I'm like, no, Chris, it's a classic.
That's real. I don't know that much about him. I do know he, like, did something. I think like,
when he dressed up like a Native American?
Yes. Yes. He did that offensive thing, but then he, like, came up with, like, a real apology. Yeah. It was, like, outstanding. He did. Rock with protesters.
I remember that because he had a problematic girlfriend at the time. I can't remember it because they all bleed together, the problematic women that he's been with. But, like, anyway, they were, like, dressed as Native Americans at their party, and people were like, excuse you, Chris. And he's like, I messed up. I didn't know legitimately. I'm from Australia. Gonna say sorry now.
Y'all got some indigenous folks there. Don't be acting there.
Australia. Mm-hmm. Like, that's no.
Oh, I'm Australian. Yeah. He should know, but at least his apology seemed genuine, and he was like, I'm gonna take some action to like do that. That's what everybody should do when they mess up like that.
Yeah.
We could do a whole show about Australia.
Yeah. Like,
right.
Don't take us over to Australia.
He was like, I was raised wrong. Gonna start doing better tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's all any of us can do.
Right?
Right.
Do recognize better. It. You were raised.
What? Yeah, so Sheree, you said you had gotten caught up.
Yeah, tell us.
And like everybody, we do realize we talk about The Good Place a lot, but it's like we're all kind of coming on at different points. So
I feel like we should like edit a bunch of these clips together to be like, girl, what you watching? The Good Place. Duh. Yeah. So I came back in. I gave it the college effort after people were like, that last episode of the first season is when it's going to get good. And I was salty about that because in my day, we started the show good, but whatever. I powered through. I'm in the new season, like 2 weeks behind, and I've done a lot of soul searching, and I like it sometimes. Sometimes Jason is a lot.
I love Jason.
I want to, but sometimes, like, I put off the episode with the title something about Donkey Doug for like 4 weeks.
But that's like the best one.
I mean, when it got to the thing, that was real cool. I feel like it's
So
spoilers. So when they got to like the actual fight, I was like, yeah, this is legitimate. Like,
wait, what fight?
Wait, did I merge the two episodes? Wait, because there was like a bar fight.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a different episode.
Never mind. So yeah, that episode I didn't need so much. But when we got to like the bar, and I feel like a lot of what I think I go back to that series for is the actual actors are fun people. Like they taught Ted dancing how to dance.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And so I went and hang out with them. And so I watched this, I feel. But sometimes I'm like, why am I here?
I gotcha.
And that's something to be cool to talk about is how like social media influences what we watch. Because like, would I watch it if I didn't love all these people and know them because of their social media presence?
That's real.
Would I? Maybe that's why I don't get along with Jason so much, because I don't follow him because his character annoys me. So maybe like I would have a beer with him and that would like make me watch more of his career, but I don't want to know.
See, like, to that point, so I'm not really on social media. Like, I don't do Twitter and stuff. And so it's interesting that you say that, because I guess it's kind of like, I guess this is really just to say that all that other stuff, the extra stuff, doesn't really affect, like, my media choices. But I know that that is, like, a real kind of thing, and that people, like, curate their social media now because of that reason and stuff. So I'm an old person who's just kind of like, oh, the TV Guide says this.
Oh, my God, TV Guide.
That still happens? That's still a thing? No, I do feel like part of it is, this is a really cool person. I want their show to succeed. I'm going to assume I'm the issue and not this show.
Look. But see, that's the thing. I'm like, I could care less about, or I could not care less, I believe that's what's grammatically correct, about all of this other extra stuff, like when they say these things. And granted, and this is not like saying, like if somebody is like genuinely actually problematic, that I would just support them regardless. But it's just really interesting that somebody's personality on Twitter could be the thing that makes somebody decide whether or not they want to invest time into a show, whereas I'm just kind of like, well, I mean, it's nice if they're funny on Twitter, like if that's what their job is, because there are people, like I don't follow anybody on Twitter because I'm not on it, but there are people whose Twitter feed, like I will go and look at, okay, like just scroll through it if I'm bored, and so it's like, oh, well, there's probably like some fun stuff.
Roxanne Gay.
Yeah, like hers, like she's really funny on Twitter, and
Eve like, Ewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironheart is coming for my money.
Yeah.
here for it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys all on Twitter? Is that something y'all want
to say? I don't use Twitter. I'm sorry.
I've been thinking about doing it more because I'm tired of Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really use Facebook. I feel like I only use like Instagram now. And sometimes I scroll through my Tumblr. Well, you know what? I've come to realize that people like put more content on it now, so like they'll write in their posts, and I think the point of like having more followers is like to be able to like read what other people have posted and stuff like that. So I used to think, oh, it's just pictures too, but then now I've been like, oh, okay, people like put little like life updates and like interesting stuff. So I'm trying to like use it in different ways than I've used it before.
Wasn't there something recently about Chris Brown was still following Rihanna on Instagram and like liking stuff?
Yeah, I think he commented some stuff on one of her posts, and people were like, "Oh, are y'all back together?" And Rihanna was like, "Nope, not at all."
Like, I hope he's gone by 2038.
Right? I know. No more Chris Brown. We're sick of the shenanigans. Yeah. Ugh. So, well, speaking of like future though, like, is there anything y'all are looking forward to watch, like in your life? Upcoming stuff.
I found out like 48 hours and 17 minutes ago that Black Mirror is coming back in December with a Choose Your Own Adventure episode.
I saw that.
A Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yes. I've never actually seen Charlie Booker, and I know he's married, but I need into that house. This is everything I've wanted. It's Black Mirror and Choose Your Own and Netflix. It's like he read my diary. I don't know.
You get to pick?
Yes. But apparently, Netflix has the technology, and they've been wasting it on kids and their shows on Netflix. I want the titles of the show so I can play along. But also,
for the children's shows?
Yeah.
Okay.
The children's shows have the technology, and they're going to give it to us for Black Mirror.
What technology?
Where you can like pick and choose what happens in your show, which is how we're going to choose our own adventure with Black Mirror, because they've been doing it for the kids.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
I love that. That's going to be great. Okay, and I don't know if y'all have already seen this, but I haven't seen Widows yet, and I really want to.
Yes,
I
think I've seen it.
I tried to see it.
You tried?
Yeah, but our tickets were in the second row, and like I was telling them earlier, like it felt like the movie was falling on top of me, and it just made my brain crazy, so I had to leave.
You had to leave? Oh, no.
I saw it, though, and we got to go. Yeah. It's just great, and it's also like, there are some, because it's an action movie that there are some like plot things that are a little messy, but honestly, it's Viola Davis being a badass. Like, you get to see her arms. Girl, those arms! Mm-hmm. Listen. And there's a lot of like Chicago actors who are in it.
Really?
It's like, it's really awesome. Yeah, it's filmed in Chicago. Yeah. Like, we have to extra see it because it's not just filmed in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's like, this takes place in Chicago.
I had a roommate who was Cynthia Revo's stand-in. So every time we saw her back, that was my roommate, Brandy.
Yes!
That's exciting. Shout out to Brandy. Thanks for your acting.
Shout out to Deanna Reed Foster, who I understudied her like 2 years ago at this like play called For the Love Of, or the roller derby play. And she's she's super awesome. And like, getting her hair did, and I'm like, oh my god, like you'll see some, even there were some actors who I like, I didn't know their names, but I'm like, I've seen you on Chicago stages, and it's like really exciting to actually see that. I'm like, is this what people in like LA feel like, where they're like, oh my god, all my friends are like in this movie? Yeah, like it's excited. So hype. It gave me all the feels.
Yes, I'm trying to go see it like this week. So those of you that haven't seen it, we can link up.
Oh,
yes.
I'll go again. My friend and I.
I've got some nights free after Monday.
Let's do it. Let's go.
It's gonna happen.
Girl, what you watching at Widows?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Field trip. Now we all have that to look forward to. Yes. I'm so excited.
Right. We'll report back.
Yeah.
Yes. Is there anything else that somebody wants to mention?
It's Christmas time, and I'm looking forward to like Christmas entertainment. and stuff. Not Hallmark movies, although I know everybody loves the Hallmark movies and everything. But, you know, like, my family goes to see the Nutcracker usually, like, every year. So I'm looking forward to, like, that.
And, oh, that's
like,
fun.
This year, like, we probably won't do it this year because part of my family, they're overseas. But every year, and this year, like, I'm saying it now to commit to it. Every year I say that I want to see a Klingon Christmas Carol, which is supposed to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's the whole story, but everybody's Klingon, and they're speaking in Klingon, and they make it a Klingon story and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I am looking forward to perhaps maybe this year finally seeing a Klingon Christmas Carol. So
wow. Oh, my gosh. To jump off of that, The Nutcracker with Macaulay Culkin, I saw is available on Netflix, and I cannot wait to watch that and feel nostalgic.
Wait, there's a Nutcracker?
Yeah. Yes. It's back when he was a baby. This is like right after people were like, what you gonna do after Home Alone? And he was like, keep acting? I don't. Chris Page Turner, go home.
Look. Yeah. And they put in this little like production of, I mean, not little production, but they put in this production of The Nutcracker that I'm pretty sure it must have aired on like Fox at the time. And I had recorded it on VHS. Aww. And like I had watched that VHS so much. I loved that one as a kid. So I'm excited to watch it again as an adult and see if I have the same sort of feelings towards it. But yeah, little Macaulay Culk. So young. He must have been about 9 or 10 or something like that.
Aww.
Precious
babe.
He had
his future ahead of him back then.
I know. That bowl cut was working.
I mean, how old is he? He's probably like, what, 38, 39?
Maybe. He looks older, whatever he is.
Yeah. He just doesn't look like a baby.
He looks older. No. Last time I saw him, I was like, is that him or is that his uncle?
I feel like, no, when you have a baby face and then you get older, it's like people get mad at you for not being a baby.
I'm going to Google him so you can see what I'm talking about.
Kind of a rough life, you know?
It's more than having a baby face anymore.
I think there's been a lot of...
He's Christopher Lloyd now in Back to the Future, not Michael J. Fox.
No.
I mean, he's been through some stuff.
He's just been through a lot of stuff. Yeah. He's
probably used some substances.
All of them.
The heavier stuff.
Right.
And he do look a little haggard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to say.
He did 2018 for the rest of us.
You can't always look like a baby forever.
That's real. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted you to be able to see this picture before we signed off, so just in case you had like a vocal reaction. Okay, oh, wait, here it comes. Wait, look, there it is. Well, how do you feel?
He looks like a 38-year-old man. Hold on.
No. Keep scrolling too, because they get more complicated. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Honestly, it's just like the features that look good. Okay,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
He
that's
is in a permanent state of I've hung over and made some choices.
I just feel like sometimes the features that look good on a child don't necessarily people find attractive as an adult. So that's all I'm saying.
Fascinating. You know what? We will have to agree to disagree on that. Three of us think he looks a little rough.
Oh, I just saw one. Oh, my God.
Also have a kinder.
Let me get back in there.
Most of us. And Sheree's still looking for these shady pictures.
Oh, I seen it.
You know what? Thank you for bringing us Home Alone, Macaulay. We are grateful. That is a fun franchise. You know, enjoy your money. I'm sure you get a little spike in your check every year around the holidays.
Syndication check.
Yes. And I don't know. I think that's it. I'm looking forward to Christmas movie season. Always a fave. Love. Much love to the joy to the world and everything. All right. That's us.
Shame pictures of Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that's true. We're still looking at Macaulay. If we sound distracted, but
I gotta stop it for that one. Sorry, putting my phone away.
But let's go ahead and sign off. Let's say bye to the folks. Much love and thank you for listening to this week's Girl, What You Watching?
Wow.
Ooh, yes.
Theme song.
Bye bye.
Bye.